OBGYN Dr. Gordon Ostrom practices at Christiana Hospital and is the chair of the Delaware section of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Governor John Carney signed a proclamation last week naming January 23rd Maternal Health Awareness Day. Ostrom says it's important to raise awareness about maternal health because it is integral to overall population health and often misunderstood.
Well, there's no question that maternal health is entree to all health. I mean, that's where babies start, and that's where we can start making an impact on public health in general. We in ACOG are women's health care physicians and advocates, and we consider ourselves stewards of good, excellent health care for our expectant mothers, our non-pregnant females, our population in general. But by extension, that stewardship will translate to better health care for everyone, for the family, the extended family, and the community. So the maternal health awareness piece has really risen to the fore recently because I think we tended to overlook the fact that there are continuing issues with maternal health. We all know the quote-unquote wonders of modern medicine and science and so forth have made our lives so much easier and better. Life expectancy has increased. And these are all things that maybe lull us into a sense of complacency. And when we look around us, we see that there are still significant complications associated with pregnancy and childbearing, both for the mother and, of course, for the baby. These are disparate in regards to their frequency in different demographic groups, but they're alarming in all across all demographic groups. So with that in mind, we have decided as a college to make people more aware of not only maternal morbidity and mortality, but also the need for maternal health and to advocate for that primarily.
Ostrom says much of maternal health during and after pregnancy comes down to the timing of appointments.
In general, what has been recognized is that as many as 50% of women do not come back for their suggested postpartum follow-up. And that number is somewhat skewed by demographic considerations as well. By educating people, we can encourage them to come back and achieve the care that they should be getting. Additionally, it has been recognized that we can decrease readmissions after delivery, which are costly, are detrimental to the health, and can often be avoided if you set up earlier postpartum, post-delivery follow-up, rather than the traditional 6 weeks, which has always been used. We're now suggesting that people with elevated blood pressure, for example, be evaluated within 3 to 5 days of their discharge from the hospital. And it has been proven that that can decrease maternal readmissions significantly. Again, less of an impact on the neonatal outcome, although obviously, child care to people who are readmitted is a significant problem.
But is lack of understanding really the only thing keeping women from their postpartum appointments?
Education is certainly a part of it, and it's education not just of the patient, but also the provider. Insurance considerations are a problem because many insurance carriers are reluctant to reimburse for care outside of that six-week visit that we spoke about. So there are initiatives involving insurers to help them understand that this is money well spent because it may prevent more significant problems in the future. And I think improving access to transportation is certainly another issue because many people have trouble getting back to the hospital, even if they are interested in getting there.
Ostrom says poverty can be a barrier to women's health, but it's not the only barrier.
Delaware, in general, is underserved by women's health care physicians. If you look at the numbers of actively practicing physicians, confound that with the point that that is very geographically determined. Obviously, Newcastle County has way more women's health providers than Kent and Sussex, absent the beach area. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely opportunities to have outreach centers and improve opportunities there. And here that you had asked before for an example, well, consider yourself coming from Sussex County, wherever, with a complicated pregnancy that was referred to Christiana for ultimate management and delivery. Mm-hmm. You're sent home. Where do you go? I mean, the people in Sussex County, maybe you didn't have a provider there. It's a trek for you to come up 2 hours to Christiana to achieve your care. So those are opportunities where we can coordinate follow-up from a public health standpoint. But we do have, I'm sure you're aware of DIN, which is the Delaware Health Information Network. So the information's out there, but the ability to coordinate with providers and outpatient facilities would be another step that we can take.
A focus of the recent Maternal Health Awareness Day in Delaware was what some OBGYNs call the fourth trimester.
Well, it's obviously a little bit of wordsmithing. And obviously, trimester does suggest three, but that has been the impetus for this concept. One of our speakers, Dr. Haywood Brown, who is the immediate past president of ACOG, kind of coined this term and has run with it. And what it means is don't ignore that postpartum period and the importance of maintaining health. And it kind of translates from the fourth trimester to interpregnancy care and the ability to optimize medical conditions when you're not pregnant. So for the next pregnancy, you'll be in the best possible condition to go through the stresses of pregnancy. Helping to plan pregnancy spacing. We know now that the optimal time is probably 18 plus months between deliveries. So those are things we can offer our patients, the ability to postpone pregnancy. And Delaware is very fortunate. They've been very proactive in making contraception available to everyone. The Delaware Can Initiative and the upstream people have been great promoting LARCs. Are you familiar with LARCs, long-acting reversible contraceptives, IUDs, implants, injections, so forth? And that, of course, better pregnancy spacing, better outcomes, better health to all involved. And we are also looking at screening for other medical illnesses, blood pressure, diabetes. In point of fact, many women use their OBGYNs as their primary care physicians, and we are considered primary care because many people who are otherwise healthy don't see their primary cares except for I've got the sniffles or whatever. So by seeing people on a regular basis for reproductive care and contraceptive advice and so forth, we have an opportunity to say, have you had your cholesterol checked? What's your blood pressure doing? What's your family history? So we are certainly taking advantage of that, again, trying to optimize people's care between pregnancies as well. And hopefully, as I say, I hate to always ignore the rest of the population. These are habits that should spread from our ladies to everyone around them.
Ostrom says behavioral factors like opioid addiction or depression can play large roles in maternal health. He thinks good communication between OBGYNs and patients is key to setting up referrals to ensure better care going forward.
After this meeting we had last week, and I've always been a little bit willing or very willing to do this, but I've been thinking, there's not much I'm doing here. Your pressure's fine. Baby sounds good. Everything's good. How are you? What's going on with you? And I think if we remind people to do that, we'll be more attentive to everything.
That was Dr. Gordon Ostrom, chair of the Delaware section of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and practicing OBGYN at Christiana Hospital. I'm Sophia Schmidt, Delaware Public Media.